racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
It's U.S. Open Championship week. Thanks for joining us in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, and here with Jay Randolph Jr., often known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And Jay, there's nothing like being at a major championship, and to be candid, it's a little extra special when we're at the likes of a Pebble Beach. It's just unbelievable. No matter how many times you see this place, it never gets old.
Well, we're at stage three of what has been a magical major season so far, with Tiger getting back into the winner's circle at Augusta, Brooks Koepka continuing his winning ways at the PGA Championship. And there's so many stories that we're going to talk about, Bob, as we look at this United States Open. There's so many sidebars, especially if you glance back to 2010. You know, granted, that's quite a ways back, but that's our last reference of a U.S. Open there. So we got a lot to talk about U.S. Open-wise, but I know you want to start with Rory.
Yeah, well, we have to start with Rory. And, you know, what happened at the Canadian Open, you talk about a good weekend, Jay, for the Irish. You have Rory McIlroy playing like Rory McIlroy can really play. Shane Lowry finishing in a tie for second. And then coming in the top 10 and high enough in the pecking order to get himself in the Open Championship at Port Rush. His hometown is Graham McDowell. And we're going to talk to Graham a little later on in the show. But, boy, what a performance by Rory McIlroy. We both know how good Rory is. If anybody had any doubts, they certainly had another good look at the talent of Rory McIlroy last week. Matter of fact, let's give a listen to what he had to say.
I got to the 14th tee. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't really thinking of winning the tournament. I was thinking of trying to shoot 59. So, you know, I had to reassess my goals a little bit in the middle of that back nine. But, you know, this is what I feel I can do. You know, I've been able to do it before, and it was nice to get back to that feeling. It's been a while since I won by a few shots.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff, Jay.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you a question, and it kind of leads to where we're headed coming up with the U.S. Open. If I'm going to give you three guys, and I'm going to say Rory McIlroy's playing his best, Dustin Johnson is playing his best, and Brooks Koepka is playing his best, who wins that golf tournament?
I'm going to answer it in a way that I think certainly would be the consensus of the field. If we stood on the first tee to everybody, the 156 players in this field, and I posed that question at the end, after the last player voted, Rory McIlroy would have more votes of being the better, more talented golfer of those three. And boy, that's saying something. But, you know, Rory McIlroy, you know, he's a prodigy. I mean, Graham McDowell was asked about Rory McIlroy when he got word back in Port Rush. Rory McIlroy was 16, and he shot 61 at Port Rush. A 61 when he was 16.
Yeah, we've known for a while we're in a unique period of time where guys are trying to separate themselves from the rest. And I think we had Koepka do that with the fourth major in eight majors. Reminder, fourth and seventh starts, as he missed one of those eight majors. But you still get that sense that if Rory is at his best, he can do like he did over the weekend and like he did at Congressional. So it's just setting up to be an unbelievable weekend, and kudos to Rory for winning up north of the border in Hamilton.
Yeah, well said, Jay. And, you know, a lot of people hear about how exclusive this is. I mean, you can play Pebble Beach.
Sure.
It's $550, by the way, and then it's a $45 cart fee. And, you know, it goes on and on. Of course, you can get a reduced rate if you stay in the lodge. But I think the lodge is about $800 for a little cot. So I don't know if
that's... How are you and Janice enjoying the lodge this week?
Yeah, well, it's very nice. I'm gonna, when I tell you about where we're staying, you're not going to believe it. I hope we have time later in the show. But how exclusive is it? Let's take our listeners back to the pro shop at Spyglass yesterday afternoon, about 2 in the afternoon. Bring, bring. That's the phone ringing. Phone is answered. The guy on the other end says, is the pro in? Pro there, who answered the phone, said, speaking. The guy on the other end said, hi, it's Dustin Johnson. I'd like to come play 4 or 5 holes this afternoon. There are a couple of shots that I'm working on, and I really think I could get the job done to help me prepare for, you know, the Open. Well, sorry, Mr. Johnson. We're all booked up this afternoon. We have no room for you. So if you're thinking of coming down 17-mile drive, oh, by the way, that's something in its own. You want to, you hear about 17-mile drive, how scenic it is and how beautiful it is. Well, you pull up to the gate, and there's a sign that says 10:50 to sightsee. So you got every person in the car has to pony up 10:50 so they go sightseeing. So I can see you and I and a bunch of friends, we'd have everybody in the trunk. We'd fool them. That's for sure. But anyway.
It's a magical place, Bob. And I think, you know, as we're going to start moving on to, you know, the fact that the guy that won the last U.S. Open here, Graham McDowell, as you mentioned earlier, as Irish eyes were smiling on the Irishman, Graham McDowell gets into the British Open, and that's big for him. We could go on and on about playing in your hometown on a golf course. You know this. We've already talked, Bob, about the significance of it going to Port Rush, and you know he brings a lot of momentum coming into this week.
No, he really does. And before we even get to that, Jay, let's listen to what Rory has to say because of his strong connections to Port Rush.
Like, I think when you get to U.S. Open setup, it can make you play careful. It can make you play a little tentative and try to, you know, guide it down the fairways. But if I've learned anything this week is, you know, my game's good enough and my swing's good enough that I can play with freedom and I can, yeah, like I'm not going to go and hit driver on every hole, but, you know, when I pull a club out of the bag, I'll just make a really good committed swing and know for the most part that it should work out for me.
Yeah, I thought he was going to talk about Port Rush, but he was talking about Pebble Beach. But I'm sure the same philosophy will apply. I mean, he's brimming with confidence right now, Jay, and I think it's the first time in quite a while that I see the bounce in Rory's step, and you're very familiar with that. I mean, Rory McIlroy walks a different way when he's playing well, and believe me, right now he's bouncing all around Pebble Beach.
Well, absolutely. You know, he has all of the tools. There are some people, I'm not one of them, our man Darren, who listens to us over the pond, questions his finishing ability in majors. You know, as we've talked about, Bob, it's hard to win multiple majors. I mean, what Koepka's done is crazy. You know, the more chances you give yourself, the better your chances are going to be. So we'll see. He didn't do it at the Masters, obviously. We'll see how he does this week off the fine play at the RBC.
All right, let's listen to Graham McDowell on the excitement level he has about qualifying for the Open Championship to be played in his hometown.
you know, obviously the chase for the Open Championship at Portrush and getting my spot for that. It's been a journey since like at Bay Hill this year, where the first tournament that had some spots for the Open Championship, and I got off to a good start there. And I kind of feel like I've been battling those emotions ever since, you know, and coming into this week with obviously spots available here at the RBC Canadian Open. People have been reminding me all week, you know, every hole out there, it was like, hope you get to Portrush, hope you get in the Open, you know, so there was no chance that I was going to be able to shove that to the back of my mind, and it was nice to be able to play decent enough to get it done today.
I mean, I can't describe for our listeners, Jay, the smile on his face. I mean, it was just wonderful to see, and it certainly adds a lot to the Open when the hometown hero is going to be teeing it up.
Oh, there were pints lifted Sunday night, late Sunday morning, and into Monday over in Ireland for the fact that Graham McDowell gets to do that. And we should also mention, Bob, Danny Willett, who lately hadn't been able to beat you, he posted his first top 10 on the PGA Tour since the 2016 Masters.
Yeah, and I got some inside information. He really is playing quite well. He might be an extreme outsider here to win this U.S. Open. But well, I said way outside. Calm down there, big guy. Anyway, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break, right? And when we come back, it'll all be about the U.S. Open Championship.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you will be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. You can find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. You can find Mr. Bubka at Bob Bubka, V-O-G. That V-O-G appropriately stands for the voice of golf. And V-O-G, it's here.
Well, it really is. And just to have some fun, in case I know at one point you were talking about maybe making that walk from Shinnecock to Pebble Beach. It only would take you 999 hours. It's 3,097 miles, 48 hours to drive nonstop. So not that bad. But please give me some advance notice if you're planning on walking. I think it might take you a little longer than that 999 hours. Not going to take too long to go around Pebble Beach, a rather short golf course. They stretched it as far as they could, and it's just barely 7,000 yards. And you know, Jay, by today's standards, 7,000 yards is not going to scare anybody in the field.
No, it's going to be very interesting, Bob, to see with this short of yardage, with as far as these guys hit it, how much of a difference is there from when Dustin Johnson stood at six under par with one round to go back in 2010 before the weather came up. I do think it's going to be interesting. And, of course, a lot of eyes are on the USGA and Mr. Bodenheimer and it's going to be a very interesting U.S. Open. I think because of all the wet weather they had in May, they can't necessarily get the golf course goofy because they can't get it as firm as they want. So I think, you know, it's going to be a very interesting championship. How low will they go? I don't know. They've talked about the rough, but Bob, you remember they were talking about the rough at Bethpage.
Yeah, well, I can tell you the rough here is going to be a penalty, but you know the fairways are sufficiently wide enough to accommodate you know, not a big mistake, but a slight mistake. But I think it's going to be magnificent. The weather forecast is pretty uniform. Not going to be all that warm, 55, 60, maybe 65 degrees. Predicted 10-mile-an-hour wind, which is just enough because, as you alluded to, Mr. Randolph, these greens are rather tiny, and it's the major defense of this golf course. I mean, you can't miss too much left or right and still get it on the green, but by the same token, once you're on the green, Jay, you're going to have, you know, probably a makeable birdie putt.
The other thing that you and I know because of our love for link-style golf or golf around oceans or water, you know, in 10 miles an hour in Keokuk, Iowa, is a lot different than 10 miles an hour on Pebble Beach because that wind is different, the swirl, the strength. I think it has more of an effect on a golf ball. So, you know, that's the defense, it seems like. It doesn't seem like it's going to be the firmness like we've seen at Shinnecock where the green speeds maybe get, you know, within question. You know, I've heard the greens are fairly receptive. So this is going to be, you would hope, a guy that drives it in the fairway, hits greens, and can handle the putting surfaces.
Well, Jay, we want our listeners to get a flavor of what lies ahead for 156 of the best golfers in the world. So we're going to play some comments by Koepka, by Justin Rose, and then by Tiger talking about the course. Let's begin with Brooks Koepka as he tells us how he thinks this course will play.
It's going to be a tough test this week. We all know that. And the rough is definitely going to be a factor this week. It's very, very thick, very juicy. You got to put the ball in the fairways. Not many drivers here. I don't need driver that much, maybe four times this week. But you put the ball in the fairway, and, you know, these greens are so small. You're going to have to, you know, you can almost put it in the center of every green and have 20 feet. No matter where the flagstick is. So it really comes down to who's going to make putts. And, you know, these are some of the best Poe greens that I've seen.
So he's happy with it. Justin Rose's thoughts on some of the iconic holes.
Obviously, there's so many iconic holes here. I think, you know, seven stands out just for what it is. It's just great to play a par three that's not 200 yards. And, you know, I think as soon as the green gets firm, it's a little bit like the 17th at Sawgrass. If you play it in benign conditions, it's a very benign hole. As soon as the conditions get a little bit rough, everything changes. And, you know, it's obviously right there on the peninsula and on the rocks. And, you know, you get 10, 15 mile an hour breeze. That green's pretty small. Obviously, it's elevated tee, so the ball's in the air for longer than usual and the wind has more effect. So that's a fun hole. It's an iconic one. 18, incredible. I mean, I don't think there's a better, you know, maybe St. Andrews, 18th at St. Andrews and 18th at Pebble Beach. You couldn't pick two better venues, two better places to win a golf tournament. So, and the course, I think, is a really good fun golf course. It's not overly long. It sets up really well, I think, for amateurs as well as pros. Obviously, they've tightened the fairways up for us, but generally, I think people who play it, there's enough room out there to enjoy your day's golf. And the targets are really small on the second shots. Greens are very, you know, very tilted and have a lot of slope to them. But, yeah, I think it's all about the wind. It's all about the firmness of the green.
For $550, Jay, they better enjoy themselves.
That's for sure. They're walking on hallowed ground. You know, he talked about the firmness of the green. That's going to be something as viewers we're going to want to watch to see, you know, if towards Saturday and Sunday they're able to get some firmness in the greens, how it does start affecting them. Because, Bob, as you said, these are some of the smallest greens these guys play every year.
And it's going to be the 21st start in the U.S. Open for Tiger Woods. He explains Poana greens.
You know, it doesn't take much to get offline on Poa. It gets a little bumpy. You happen to catch you know, those little seed heads start popping up. Bent sits down, perks up, and good putts look like they should go in, don't go in, and then you may pull one or push one, and it happens to bounce back in the hole. The trick to putting on Poe is to make sure you're always below the hole. Because if you're putting downhill, it's sometimes like a plinko effect. I mean, you're just going to go every which way. So key is to be below the hole where you can take low lines and try and take the bumpiness out of play.
I want to share one story about Tiger before we talk about Stevie Williams and going on the bag for Jason Day. But Tiger wins by a huge margin, obviously, in 2000. Won by 15 shots. I was working for the USGA. They had me in a van where Tiger was going to be brought to, where I would have some privacy and obviously some great sound quality to do the interview. So I'm in the van, and suddenly the side door opens, and in climbs Tiger, Jay, and he's talking on the cell phone. I'm waiting there with my microphone. Finally, he says, "Well, thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the phone call. Now, what do you need, Bob?" I mean, so one of the all-time segues in the history of radio broadcasting, that's for sure.
Wow, what a story that is, Bob. That's unbelievable. I wonder what's going to happen with Tiger this week. If you remember back, you know, as you talked about the 2000 victory, I honestly think that he beat the game that week. I was there. You were there. It was the crowning achievement. I mean, after what he, you know, other than 97, if you will, at Augusta with Hello World and all that. I mean, I'm going to be very curious to see how he plays. Obviously, positioning is key on this golf course, Bob. Don't forget, Tiger was in third place going into the final round in 2010. Now, he was seven shots behind Dustin Johnson and four back of Graham McDowell. But a lot of people were thinking, hey, this is going to be another major that Tiger wins. He didn't do it. What do you expect this week?
Well, it's probably not going to come as good news to Tiger fans. And this is just a personal observation. I mean, Tiger seems a little bit stiff, seems a little bit sore. And Jay, with the weather forecast predicted around 60, 65, you throw in a little fog. I mean, those are not the weather conditions that I think suit somebody that maybe experienced some back difficulty. So I could be all wet. I mean, he could be stiff the last couple of days and then be fine tomorrow. Certainly, all the Tiger fans are going to be hoping for Tiger at his best, but we're going to have to keep an eye on him. To me, Jay, he looks a little stiff.
Speaking of Tiger fans, they remember when Steve Williams was on the bag for Tiger Woods for so many of those major championships. Bob, I thought Steve Williams was done and buying race cars and living a life of luxury in Australia. He's back on the bag of fellow countryman Jason Day.
Yeah, well, I think Jason Day took a peek into maybe you got to watch the Godfather movie on television and made Stevie Williams an offer he just couldn't refuse. Actually, it's quite funny because Bud Martin, Jason Day's manager, one of the best in the business, a real straight shooter, somebody that I truly admire. Ellie, Jason Day's wife, they kind of got together and said to Jason, "Look, you're not working hard enough. You say you want to be a good golfer. You say you want to be number one again in the world. But, you know, saying it and working hard enough are two different things." They said, "We suggest let's make a deal with Stevie Williams." Stevie said, "I'll come back on the bag only if you promise me you're going to work as hard as required to achieve the goals that you're setting for yourself." And Jason Day agreed to that. Jason Day admitted to the media yesterday that he truly is an underachiever. And I give somebody that's won a major, somebody that's been number one in the world, to be able to sit in a packed room of media and admit that you're an underachiever. That's taking a very realistic approach to his career. Let's see what happens. I mean, where I differ, Jay, you know, when Jason Day says, you know, Stevie Williams won 15 majors. Well, 13 of those are with Tiger. If Jay Randolph caddied for Tiger, or I caddied for Tiger, or Janice Self, our executive producer, caddied for Tiger, he would have won those 13 majors.
Well, he'd have won at least double digits, that's for sure. And I got to ask you about Dustin Johnson before we make our picks. I mean, he was second at the PGA. I've mentioned a couple of times in the show about him being on the lead going into the final round in 2010 by three strokes over McDowell. What about DJ?
You know, DJ, I think, is just about getting fed up with hearing all this Brooks Koepka talk. They're very good friends. Matter of fact, I think Brooks and Dustin, you know, between those two guys, they're the closest to each other than anybody else playing out here. And Dustin, you know, certainly was in that spotlight before Brooks. Now it's kind of been on the focus of the play of Brooks Koepka. I think it might be enough motivation for Dustin Johnson to get the job done here this week, getting revenge for the one that he let slip through his fingers back in 2010.
Well, before we get to our next segment where we've got three fantastic interviews for you, Bob, I'm going to ask you your pick and a long shot pick.
Well, my pick is going to be, ironically enough, Dustin Johnson. I think he could get the job done. And long shot pick, you know, I picked him before, and I don't know if he really qualifies as a long shot, but I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele.
Very interesting. I'm just going to take a flyer. You know, he was a USGA guy, won a US amateur. He shot the low round in 2010 in the final round. He shot 68. He's been the walking ATM machine. I'm going to pick Matt Kuchar this week to win the US Open, and my long shot is Graham McDowell.
Wow.
So there you go. And when we come back, we're going to hear from some key people that Bob was able to catch up with at Pebble Beach. You do not want to miss it, and get their thoughts on the U.S. Open. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KPRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Great to have you with us as we talk about the U.S. Open. And Bob has been really fortunate over the years to catch up with some fantastic people, and this week is no different out at Pebble Beach. The last time the U.S. Open was contested at Pebble Beach, Graham McDowell, who we talked about earlier in the show, qualifying for the Open Championship at Port Rush, was our winner here at Pebble Beach. Bob cut up with Graham McDowell.
Standing with Graham McDowell, and can't wait to get his reaction, what happened up in Canada. But first, have to go back a little bit, because you are part of the greatest, and I mean greatest, comeback in the history of sports. 1 week in Ireland, you were forced to work on TV sitting alongside of me. You transitioned from that to winning a U.S. Open. That is an unbelievable comeback, Grant.
That was a fun week. That was the 2006 Ryder Cup and at the K Club, and obviously I didn't make the team, unfortunately, but it made me realize, you know, that I'd rather be on the other side of the camera, being out there playing golf and doing something I love. I'll leave the colorful commentary to more talented people like yourself, Bob. But not great to be back here this week at Pebble. Seen in the crime 9 years ago. Thankfully, I've been back here three or four times playing the AT&T Pro-Ams. I've kind of done the reminiscing and I've done the sightseeing, and I'm here to compete this week.
And, of course, you're now eligible to play in the Open Championship in your hometown of Portrush. You made an unbelievable putt on the 72nd hole of the Canadian Open. What did it feel like when that ball hit the bottom of the cup?
It was a monster relief. You know, I was in the throes of trying to mess it up, thinking, you know, if I made five here on the last and I miss, I'm going to be suicidal. You know, well, you know, within reason. I mean, obviously, it's just sport, but listen, you know, it was a really, really important putt. When I saw it go in, I was very relieved, very ecstatic. Nice to get that little monkey off my back and let me just focus on playing golf here those next few weeks. I got some great summer ahead with kicking off here with the U.S. Open and back to Europe for the Irish, Scottish, and the Open. So it's a special time.
Always great to see you, my friend. Good luck this week.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it, man.
Well, you know what? It could be a very interesting week for Graham McDowell. Off the success he had, he's been trending the right way. The great mojo coming back to Pebble Beach. Maybe it'll be a magical week for Graham McDowell. Speaking of magical, a magical man is the little pro from Bel Air, the great Eddie Mearns. Always like to catch up with him during major championships. Let's hear from one of the great legends of golf, Eddie Mearns.
What a combination. Pebble Beach, the little pro, Eddie Mearns, on the eve of another U.S. Open here at Pebble Beach. With your West Coast connections, little pro, do you take extra pride when our national championship is being contested on the West Coast, and especially like an iconic golf course like Pebble Beach?
I think so, Bob, because, you know, I remember Bobby Jones back in 29, I think it was, coming out here to play in the amateur. He was unsuccessful in his quest, but he made his dent, and that's where he got the idea of doing Augusta National, because Alistair McKenzie had done Cypress Point, and he saw Cypress Point. And rather than use Donald Ross to design Augusta National, he got McKenzie.
And, of course, we know what a magnificent piece of work that turned out to be. The year 2019... Pebble Beach certainly would never be mistaken for a long golf course, but yet to the best players in the world, I think, and I want your opinion, little pro, is it provides a very good test.
It provides a great test. Yardage-wise, I'm not sure they can make it reach 7,000. It'll be 6,900 and something yards. But the greens are so small that even though the targets are there, they're hard to find, and if you put the ball in the rough off the tee, it's almost impossible to hit the greens because they're so firm and so small.
And of course, little pro, over the years, you've seen many, many great players. What I want, because time is of the essence, little pro, I want your take on what we're witnessing with Brooks Koepka. I mean, back-to-back PGA championships, back-to-back U.S. Opens, looking to win the third U.S. Open in a row here at Pebble Beach. That's only been done one time in history, as you well know, back when Willie Anderson did it around 1903, 04, 05. What is your take on Brooks Koepka?
My take on Brooks Koepka is you're watching a man who's happy doing his work because he feels very comfortable in the competitive situation offered by the U.S. Open. he feels comfortable, and as such, he feels the other players don't really have much of a chance against him if he plays well. And he's proven that the last three or four years.
You know, Little Pro, I'm so glad you said enjoying his work, because I never had the pleasure of watching you give a lesson. But I can almost guarantee our listeners that you very rarely, if ever, gave a lesson without a smile on your face.
I think I enjoy the giving of the lesson a lot more than the person who took the lesson, even though it might have been successful. I truly am happiest when I'm giving a golf lesson. And I think the satisfaction comes from knowing that you help somebody to help themselves.
Well, Little Pro, as far as helping somebody, you certainly help our radio show whenever we get the opportunity to speak with you. It's an honor and a pleasure. Great to see you looking so good, and let's have a great U.S. Open.
We're going to have a great U.S. Open, from Bobby Jones to Jack Nicklaus to whoever, Tiger Woods and beyond.
Always good to hear from the Little Pro, and his week will not be as stressful as the man we're going to hear from right now. In his first year in the role of Senior Managing Director of Championships, Bob got to catch up with the man that will set up Pebble Beach, John Bodenheimer.
He's taken over the responsibility of setting up Pebble Beach, which is like being invited to the Sistine Chapel to do a paint job on. John, I want to begin with, how do you deal with the potential frustration of all your planning and all your work, and then suddenly Mother Nature shows up and everything goes out the window? I mean, you have to consider that possibility.
We play an outdoor game. Anytime you're out in the weather, anything can happen. I think instituting safeguards, we've always done that. We have some things this year that we'll do. We've always done that. It's not new. I think thinking about Pebble Beach in that manner is certainly unique. But the good thing about Pebble Beach for us is we've been here numerous times, not just for the U.S. Open. We had the U.S. Amateur here last year, and we learned a lot about the putting greens last year. And it's partly why they're so good this year, is because of the research and some of what we tried at the amateur that benefited this year. You know, we had some dry spots and drying in 2010 that we didn't want. Neither did Pebble Beach or the players. It was an agronomic condition that I think we solved for pretty well, and we're happy about it.
One last thing. The argument is made that Pebble Beach, the finest U.S. Open golf course in the United States. I happen to grow up in the shadow of Shinnecock, so I vote Shinnecock. But still, coming in your capacity and getting to do it at Pebble Beach, it's got to be a tremendous honor for you.
Well, we think every single one of our U.S. Open sites are iconic and wonderful in their own way. You know, the U.S. Open is so unique because we can share everything. All the various sites around our country, from the Sand Hills at Pinehurst to in the Hamptons at Shinnecock, to the cliffs of the Monterey Bay here on a links course at Pebble Beach, and then you think about some of the other great venues. But this is, those venues and the history on all of them, but especially here, you think about what has happened, what has transpired. Nicklaus's 1-iron in 72, Watson's chip-in in 82, the wind in 92, and Kite's chip-in on 7, and Tiger winning one for the ages. You know, people think we have par as a target score. We do not. And I just point to Tiger's winning at 12 under par in 2000 and winning by 15. That's one for the ages. We tip our cap to him. That's all you can do when great athletes achieve great things. And Graham McDowell a few years later ago in 2010. But I think that Pebble is special just because of the beauty that's here too, and the history that's unfolded, and in so many ways it is a very special U.S. Open. You know, Nick Price on our board shared something with us last fall, and he said it's really important to the guys and the gals where they win their major. Winning at Pebble Beach is pretty special.
John Bodenheimer, on behalf of golf fans everywhere, we wish you the very, very best of luck this week and crown a great champion on Sunday.
We will. It's going to be a great 119th U.S. Open. Thank you.
Well, it's going to be a huge week for John Bodenheimer. Both Bob and I were friends with the last two guys that set up the U.S. Opens, Tom Meeks and Mike Davis. Good luck to John this week at Pebble Beach. Well, when we finish things off in our final segment, it's The Mouth That Roars. MorningRead.com's Alex Maselli. He'll share his opinions when we return, and there's no telling what Alex will have to say.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elstoautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Our next guest in the Grill Room certainly needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Now you can actually see Alex as he does a video report, which used to be audio, but he joins us now in the Grill Room. We're on the eve of the 119th United States Open, Pebble Beach. How much pressure, Alex, do you think the USGA is under to have things go smoothly this week?
Well, I think if you were at another venue, maybe the pressure would be much more, much greater than it is here, because I think they've been here enough, they know this venue, and quite honestly, they don't have as much to do at a Pebble Beach as they will when they go next year to a Wingfoot or what they had at Shinnecock. So I think that there's pressure that we're seeing, but internally, I don't believe they're going to feel the same about it, and I think they feel very comfortable with what the outcome will be of this championship, not only inside the ropes but outside the ropes. I think all in all, they feel like something would have to go really, really, really crazy. Oh, you mean Shinnecock? Well, but I mean something really, really crazy before this didn't turn into be a successful event, one that they could build on going forward.
It's going to play just about 7,000 yards. Does that take the advantage away from the long hitter, or will a long hitter, even at Pebble Beach, have an advantage?
Well, I think it really depends on the player and what they're thinking. I mean, I saw Phil Mickelson the other day hit an iron off the first tee and then turn around and hit a driver off the first tee. Is he, I guess, either A, how close he could get, or B, if he could drive it? So, I mean, really it comes down to, if you're a player that just loves to hit driver and feels like that you can really control a driver, then I think you'll have certainly an advantage out here. But that being said, you know, these greens are so small, you know, the ability to control the spin is going to be very, very important this week. So I think you want to find a club that you feel comfortable with going into a certain green. So basically you want to find a yardage you feel comfortable with. And I think that's why there's a lot of practice rounds going on. You know, a lot of times in the past, Bob, you'd start seeing guys not really play practice rounds because they didn't want to get too tired or this or that. And you'd say, well, they play Pebble Beach every year. Well, they do, but it's in completely different conditions, and because of that, it's not the same golf course. So I think they want to get a feel for this and a handle around what they should be doing around this golf course with the knowledge that they're probably not going to hit a lot of drivers no matter who they are.
It's amazing as we get this 119th United States Open underway that there are several huge storylines in front of us. Obviously, Phil Mickelson, the Grand Slam thing, Brooks Koepka, three in a row, Tiger Woods, major number 16. But experience tells me that, you know, more often than not, when we have those possibilities, none of them are going to come true, and it'll be somebody else walking away with the title come Sunday.
Well, I think the Koepka storyline is the one that I believe will probably last the longest, if not last all the way through this U.S. Open. I think the Mickelson storyline is basically hoping that Phil Mickelson can show up for four rounds. I just don't see his ability to do that. Seeing what he's been doing lately, I don't see that. And this whole idea about bringing two drivers at a golf course where we just talked about the fact that most people aren't going to be hitting drivers, why would you need two? So that in itself seems to be a little crazy. The Tiger Woods storyline is interesting because I think we'll know pretty much by the first round if that Tiger Woods ability to win another major is going to happen this week at Pebble Beach or not. And, I mean, I've been a proponent, as you know, that it's not going to happen. So I like the Koepka storyline, but you're right. There's a lot of other storylines here. I mean, Graham McDowell finishing TA the Canada last week certainly is a storyline you might want to take a look at. If you take a look at some of these other guys, Jordan Spieth coming off the snide, is this a place where he's going to turn around and he's going to win a major again? Realizing and understanding he has had success here, even though it was not during a U.S. Open, it wasn't this time of year. You take a look at somebody like a Justin Rose and a Henrik Stenson. I think both of them have, you know, good opportunities this week, especially Stenson, who, for whatever reason, is like 60-1 in Vegas. I mean, it's like, that's ridiculous. Henrik Stenson, to me, is starting to peak right now. And if he's interested and engaged, he will play very, very well. And I think he is both interested and engaged.
Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Before we let you go, Alex, this Open here at Pebble Beach seems to me to have the door wide open for maybe a Xander Schauffele, you know, players like that, Patrick Cantlay. I mean, there's so many, Tommy Fleetwood. There's so many young, talented guys that have yet to taste their first major. Could this be the week that that happens?
Well, I mean, look, you got 156 guys teeing it up this week. Certainly, to get here means that everybody is capable of playing this golf course. Are they capable of putting 72 holes together? Are they capable of dealing with the rough, which is going to be a little different than usual that they will see, because there's going to be rough, not only very thick rough down the fairways, but around the greens. So there's all these, you know, things that happen. And then really, Bob, to be quite honest with you, it comes down to luck. How much luck do you get? Because people think that it's all about skill out here. It's not. You have to have luck. There are so many ways we could talk about how Brooks Koepka won the PGA at Bethpage. There was luck involved. We could talk about Tiger Woods, who won at the Masters, and if not for luck, would not have won that event. So you're going to have luck on your side as well. And, you know, some people talk about you create your own luck. Well, maybe that may be true. But the bottom line is you're going to have some luck. And I think that the people we talked about earlier are the guys that I have to look at, but that doesn't mean a Kevin Kisner can't come out of nowhere. It doesn't mean that a Kevin Na can't come out of nowhere. But if I was going to bet, and my money, not your money, then I'm betting on the guys I talked about earlier.
Well, I'm glad you're betting with your money, because you'd have to bet a hell of a lot less if it was my money. Alex Maselli, founder, publisher, Morning Read, thanks again for your time.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.